Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ammo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up, Will? Saturday night, back to back.
Special, yeah, two Saturdays in a row. Special, a very impromptu Saturday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. You know, busy sports day. You know, we're gonna lead off with a little baseball news with a potential R.A. Dickey trade. We'll give you the latest where he's rumored to be headed to. Then we'll shift gears, talk a little NBA, talk about the Knicks versus Cavs. They had a nail-biting game. Then we'll also talk about the Nets. They had a nail-biting game as well against the Bulls. Then we'll talk a little bit about the Jets. As you know, they're trying to string some wins back-to-back. And they're going to face the Titans on Monday night. Talk about the Giants also and the upcoming Falcons game. And then, as usual, we're going to end off with a little sports entertainment, you know, preview tomorrow night's Stabilizer and Chair pay-per-view event, the first pay-per-view event in Brooklyn in WWE history. But before we start with the Dickey trade rumor, you know, the biggest story, non-sports story, because, you know, on this show we talk sports entertainment and everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. And, of course, you know, the big story is, of course, unfortunately, the school massacre in Connecticut on actually Friday early Friday morning. My condolences, you know, go out to the family who lost, you know their children, you know, their siblings, their, you know, their teachers. I mean, it's unbelievable what happened.
Unjust for no reason. Kids didn't even have a chance to live their lives.
It's unfortunate.
What did they do to deserve that? Nothing.
A nut job, you know, just going to a school and just kills children. And to top it off, he kills his own mother, too, and then takes the cowardly way out and ends his life so he won't get any prison time.
Sickening.
It's, you know, what can you say? I mean, when people are insane like that, they have no value, they don't value, you know, human life, especially little children.
Crazy world we live in.
Yeah. And my condolences go out to everybody who was affected.
Yeah.
Survivors, you know, the people who are grieving for their loss.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible day.
Worst massacre in U.S. history. Very sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to, you know, talk about sports. I mean, wins and losses really doesn't really matter, but you know, we got to, unfortunately.
There's more important things in life.
Yeah.
Than just sports.
Exactly. But unfortunately, you know, we got to, you know, give gears on.
Yep.
But our condolences go out to the family.
Yeah, definitely.
And, let's lead off with the Ari Dickey trade rumors. Of course, you all know, Ari Dickey won the Cy Young Award in 2012, only the third Met pitcher after Tom Seaver, who won it three times, and Dwight Gooden, who also won it. Ari Dickey, you know, he's rumored, the trade is very close, that he's going to be traded to Toronto. And as of right now, it looks like it's going to be a 7 or 8 player deal. I mean, the stories haven't been confirmed yet, but as of right now, Ari Dickey, Josh Tolley, and a prospect is going to be traded for arguably the best catching prospect in baseball. Power-hitting catcher by the name of Travis Arnoux. And if that name sounds familiar to you, that catcher was the centerpiece. He was the other centerpiece of the Roy Halladay trade. Phillies traded Arnoux to the Toronto in order for them to get, you know, the multiple Cy Young Award winner Roy Halladay.
Man, that's absurd, man. I can't believe this is going to happen. Oh, because Mets can't afford to keep Ari Dickey? I mean, come on. The guy just won the Cy Young.
I mean,
third.
I do want to keep Ari Dickey, but, you know, the rumors is that they're going to get a good deal out of this. You know, they get Arnoux, or however you pronounce his name. This guy, you know, he hits for power. Supposedly he has great defense and throws people out. Another person in the deal is that they would get either Sarsgaard, who's their top pitching prospect, or their second other prospect. His name escaped me. And who else? They get back John Brook, who playing with the Marlins. They acquired him in the Reyes trade. His biggest moment, I mean, he's not really he's basically a backup catcher, but he hit a grand slam against the Mets earlier this year. you know, he's basically a throw-in to the deal. And Mets are also going to receive another prospect to the deal.
Well, we'll see how this plays out, but I still don't agree with this. I mean, you would think a big market team would be able to re-sign a guy that won the Cy Young. I mean, he just won the Cy Young Award. It's not like he won the Cy Young like 5 or 10 years ago. It was just this last year.
Yeah, and he was willing to sign, you know, for a bargain, you know, considering, you know, baseball terms, you know, 2-year, $26 million contract. But Mets so far, Mets, like, they're only willing to give him a 2-year, $20 million contract.
Right.
And I guess the Mets are also afraid that, you know, he's 38 years old. He's a knuckleballer. I mean, odds are, you know, this is the best you're going to get out of him. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think he's still going to be a very good pitcher.
Right.
But getting 20 wins, you know, that's kind of that. The odds of that happening is very slim. I think he'll be great. I think he'll average 15 to 18 wins. But expect him to be a 20-game winner. Again, I mean, I guess Mets are playing it safe. And as you know, the Mets have a lot of holes. So, you know, I hate to see Ari Dickey go, you know. Probably my, you know, second favorite player on the team this year, you know, right after Wright. You know, the guy, you know, he played the game. You know, he had a great season. You know, he's, you know, a class act on and off the field. And, He'll definitely be missed in New York.
Well, let's hope it works out for the best for him and the Mets in this trade.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, Mets can, you know, this trade will work out. On paper, it's good. I mean, then again, you never know with prospects.
Yes.
We'll
see.
Apparently, this guy, you know, he hit 16 home runs in the minor leagues last year. But in June, he injured himself and he missed the rest of the year, so that pretty much is the reason why he hasn't made his major league debut yet.
Oh, okay.
So it should be a good trade. Hopefully, you know, Mets get back those players in the deal and then some, and hopefully it works out for the Mets, and, you know, hopefully in a few years these guys could be, you know, part of the piece of, you know, the puzzle of Mets getting back to respectability and then a championship-caliber team.
Time will tell.
Only time will tell. Other baseball news. The Yankees re-signed Ichiro to a 2-year, $13 million contract. So, you know, Ichiro is going to stay and most likely end his career as a Yankee. And the bigger Yankee news is that they signed former Red Sox, former rival Kevin Youkilis. But then again, when you think about it, it's kind of old hat because he's probably like, what, the sixth player, you know, to win a championship with the Reds. I mean, to potentially win a championship with the Yankees, you know, after playing, you know, many years with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I like the trade. I mean, the guy, he has a good eye for taking at bats, you know, he gets a lot of walks. You know, he's a decent hitter. He's not a great hitter, but he's decent. And, you know, he had a good career with the Red Sox. And, you know, A-Rod is going to be injured for most of the season, it looks like. So he's going to fill that role at third base. And I like it, you know. I think he's going to be a good fit in this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, he's a gritty guy. And plus, I mean, it's not like it was a trade. You know, you only gave them, what, 1 year, $12 million. I mean, for the Yankees, that's pocket change, even though supposedly, you know, they have a $189 million budget. So, I mean, it should be a good move.
I like it, yeah. I mean, I think he's going to be a good player for us. But still have some more work to do here in the offseason.
Yeah, definitely. And let me see. Well, I guess we'll shift gears to, you know, basketball. You know, Knicks have been playing well lately. Knicks, you know, capped off the week. That one of the highlights of the week is that they beat the Nets finally in Brooklyn.
Finally,
they had a big game. You know, Melo went down, but you know, the team was able to you know, hold on to that win. And one of the key defensive plays was down the stretch. Chandler had some two tap. How can I describe it? You know, like he deflected. He had two deflections to the ball to maintain the possession.
Yep.
And you know, Knicks was able to hold on to that win, with Carmelo, who scored 30 points off in 22 minutes, and what, 22 points in the first quarter alone.
Yeah, this so was Knicks against Lakers, not the Nets, you mean.
Oh, right, my fault, yes. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, the Nets, Jason Kidd hit that game-winning shot, yeah.
Right, exactly, right, that's it. The Jason, yes, thank you, I'm sorry, I'm mixing the games up. Yeah, Jason Kidd knocked down the game-winning three with, what, 26 seconds left into the game, but missed the free throw. And then the Laker game, D'Antoni's first game back, the Garden. And what's new? D'Antoni at the Garden loses.
Yeah, we saw that a lot.
Yeah, we definitely did. That was definitely a vintage game.
Yep.
Except the Knicks won.
Yep, and it was a close one. It got close there because Carmelo went down, like you said.
Right.
And Knicks were resilient, and they managed to hold on to the game.
Right, with Tyson Chandler, you know, having those plays.
Yep.
And
it was a great game.
Great game. You know, Carmelo got hurt. He didn't play the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what else. Bryant was kind of had an injured back a bit.
Yep.
They were missing Nash. Dwight Howard was invisible. I mean, you could tell with him missing an easy dunk. I mean, I know it happens, but you could tell it was going to be a tough night for him.
Yeah, Lakers are just not a good team. I mean, they don't have team chemistry right now. They can't play defense, and D'Antoni's coaching them. I mean, what more? How bad can they get? I mean, they're not going to go anywhere this year, even if Nash comes back. You know?
That's the problem with the Lakers. I mean, with D'Antoni. D'Antoni, the team scores a lot, but he never adjusts with the team. When
mm-hmm.
Pat Riley was with the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, you know, they were like a very high-paced, high-octane team that, you know, they didn't really play that much defense, but, you know, they play a lot better defense than the D'Antoni teams.
Right,
but
exactly.
But when he went to the Knicks, he went to a typical, you know, old school, walk the ball up the court, playing defense.
Yeah.
That's what great coaches do. They adjust
mm-hmm.
their system to the personnel, the players that they have on the team. D'Antoni, he wants to force the 7 second or less, you know, have four guys who can shoot the three and have a power forward playing the center and, you know, score. But, I mean,
it's going to work that way.
You know, it's not always going to work that way. You got to adjust to the personnel. And Kobe Bryant's like the only guy on the team that could play it, but he's 34 years old. You don't want this guy running up the court. And Nash, he's 38. He's hurt, and he never played defense to begin with. And that's the kryptonite of the Mike D'Antoni teams.
Yep.
Even in Phoenix, they never played defense, and that's why Mike D'Antoni in his career has never won a championship.
Yep, and again, like I said, Lakers aren't going anywhere, so they're just a bad team right now. But as far as the Knicks, still best record in the East after beating the Cavs tonight, even though it was a
scary nail biter.
But I mean, they didn't have Carmelo, they didn't have Wallace, they didn't have Camby, so.
Yeah.
Still managed to win.
Yeah, and Camby has plantar fasciitis, same injury he had 10 years ago when he was with the Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the guy who made me learn that word. I never even knew that word existed.
He just has bad luck getting injured with the Knicks for some reason.
I know. And let me see what else. Yeah, the Cavs, I mean, you know, we were able to hold on Varejao. You know, he missed he made the first free throw and then he missed it, and J.R. Smith was able to you know, get that rebound to preserve the win by the final score of 103-102. And Oakland played a good game. You know, he scored, what, 8 points in the first quarter. Jason
yeah.
Kidd, I mean, you look at his stats, he had 9 points. He shot horribly, but, you know, defensively, you know, he played well. He had 6 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, this guy was getting steals. This guy was, you know, typical Jason Kidd, except for his shooting. His shooting was actually vintage Jason Kidd, like, before he was, you know, with the Nets and, you know, and Dallas. So,
Kyrie Irving, man, he was hot tonight. He was carrying
yeah.
the Cavs.
Who was
and
that
wearing
mask,
a dark
man?
Mask.
Who
yeah.
was that mask, man? I mean,
Dark Knight.
Yeah, I mean, they had 3 guys in a mask, man. You know what I thought? 41 points. I thought as soon as he took off the mask, he would have revealed it was really LeBron James. I mean, this guy had a career-high 41 points. I mean, this guy willed them. He had a Reggie Miller-esque Jordan-type game.
Yeah, but he played great. I mean, he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, I gotta give him props. He knocked down two threes late in the game that I didn't think he was gonna score.
Yep.
That game was scary, but
you know,
thank God we were able to hold on to that game, and you know, we look forward to facing the Rockets on Monday.
Should be a good one. Getting revenge for them whooping ass when we went down to Houston.
Isn't it gonna be here or is it? Isn't it here?
Yeah, it's going to be at the Garden. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a great game, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And get that revenge, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Carmelo should be back by then.
Oh, yeah. Shifting gears again, Jets, you know, they've been putting some wins back-to-back. You know, they were able to come out with a win 17-10 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, Sanchez, you know, didn't play well in the first half. You know, they actually finished the half with no points. And, you know, they had Tebow suited up, but he didn't play. He didn't play the quarterback. So, I mean, they basically wasted McElroy. They left McElroy, who basically helped them win that Cardinals game the week before, and they didn't even suit him up. And actually, Monday night, they're going to face the Titans as they try to back into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it definitely should be an interesting game. But they need a lot of help. They'll definitely need a lot of help for them to get in.
Just got to win it out. Hopefully, got to win all these games.
Yep, it's possible, but not impossible.
They control their destiny.
Yeah. What was that? Well, it's going to be a big game. Now, shifting to the Giants. Giants are going to face the Falcons.
Yeah, Falcons are going to look to get some redemption on us for being there at 23-2. Yeah, in the first round last year. Earlier this year, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be a big game after the Giants whooped the Saints 52-27 last week.
Oh, yeah. David Wilson had 3 touchdowns, and he's going to listen to some of his teammates. He's going to stop doing the backflips. A smart thing, because you don't want this guy to twist an ankle. You know,
that's true.
He said he's been doing it since he was 3, but, you know, Eli doesn't have a problem with it. Justin Tuck does. So, you know, to be cautious, he's going to stop doing the backflip. So.
Yeah, he probably should, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
But the guy is exciting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. But shifting gears, finally the WWE.
DLC.
DLC tomorrow, man. Going to be a big event. Who you think is going to win? Ryback, Team Hell No, who's finally reunited. Versus the Shield.
I think, you know, I want Ryback and Kane and Daniel Bryan to win, but I think the Shield will come out with a win.
I think Shield will win too. I mean, I know it's hard to say that it's against Ryback, you know, who the only way he's losing is because of the Shield, but this is their debut. If they lose, I mean, it's going to take a lot of them.
Yeah, I think they'll win, but they'll do something shady to win.
Oh, yeah, they're going to definitely do shady. But then again, this is a table, ladders, and chair match, so it's, you know, anything goes, really. And this is the first time ever it's going to be pinned or submission.
Mm-hmm, yep.
They don't really have anything to fight for, really.
Yeah.
They don't have any titles or anything.
That should be a good one.
Yeah, that should definitely be a good one. And that's what's great about this pay-per-view event. It's unpredictable.
It is. It definitely is.
We honestly don't know who's going to win that match.
It could go either way.
What did you say?
It could go either way.
Yeah, it could. Another interesting match, you know, is the, what was I going to say? The Cena and Ziggler. I mean, this is crunch time right here. I mean, Ziggler, you know, he earned the right to have the briefcase. If Cena finds a way to end up winning this, I mean, this is good. That's really gonna suck because come on, John Cena doesn't need he's gonna get a title shot eventually.
I seriously don't see Cena winning this at all. I think Ziggler will win the Money Bank, and I think Cena will probably go on to win the Royal Rumble. That's what I
think. I agree with you. Because at first I thought Cena was gonna do it as soon as, you know, Vicky made the announcement, but now that I think about it more, it makes more sense for him to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ziggler finally gets his real title shot. I mean, he did, on paper, he did beat Edge like a year ago, but he only had the title for like a few minutes on paper. But I think Cena will win it, and that will force Rockwell, you know, maybe defeat CM Punk at Royal Rumble if they could do it.
Uh-huh.
Then maybe that would force once in a lifetime again, even though I prefer Rock, you know, be the champion and face somebody else that, you know, he hasn't faced, you know, or man, I'd even sell for Brock Lesnar, even though they fought like, you know, 10 years ago. But Cena should be once in a lifetime. I have no problem if they fight any other, if it's Survivor Series or maybe next year, but I don't think they should fight 2 years in a row.
Nah, I don't think so either. He's definitely got to fight someone else.
Yeah. And what was the other pay-per-view? There's Sheamus and Big Show. I gotta hand it to them. A storyline I didn't really care about in the beginning, but the storyline between Sheamus and Big Show is actually more interesting with Sheamus as the challenger.
Yeah, you know, this one actually could go either way, too. I could see Sheamus winning it, but I could also see Big Show retaining it.
I think if Sheamus wins, then that will force an eventual Ziggler versus Sheamus match, you know, when he finally cashes it in. Or if Big Show retains it, he's going to pull a Daniel Bryan and somehow cash it in tomorrow night.
Yep, I agree.
Because I can't see him. I mean, it would make more sense for him to cash in against Sheamus, and Sheamus is the good guy. But I don't know if they want to do that to Sheamus, because they built this whole time to try to make him into this undefeatable guy, the next John Cena. And the rumors is that he's going to face Orton at the pay-per-view event. I mean, at WrestleMania.
What if this happens? What if Ziggler wins against Cena tomorrow, and then Cena wins the Royal Rumble, and then before Cena goes, well, at WrestleMania, well, before WrestleMania, Ziggler ends up winning the heavyweight title, and then Cena or Ziggler for the heavyweight title.
That would be interesting. I just don't want to see Rock and Cena again at WrestleMania. They could fight at Survivor Series. They could fight at Royal Rumble. I mean, but
I think it would be CM Punk.
What you said?
I think it will be Rock vs. CM Punk. It looks like it's going to be like that.
Yeah, Royal Rumble or WrestleMania?
WrestleMania.
Nah, I don't think they're going to. I would love to see that, but they're doing it.
It can't be a Royal Rumble. CM Punk is injured. I don't think he's going to be back at Royal Rumble.
If he can make it, he's going to fight Rock at Royal Rumble. That's why they're going to let him heal himself
I don't know about that. I doubt he's the guy's injured. No way he can make it back to Royal Rumble this soon.
Who knows?
I don't know.
There's even rumors that he's going to defend the title against Ryback, like on the Raw. There's a special thing that's going to happen on Raw soon. The Raw 20th anniversary episode next year in January. I think 2 weeks before Royal Rumble. They might have him defend the title against Ryback because Ryback has promised a future title defense. So
I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. It's tough right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to give the wrestlers some credit. I mean, real athletes, in professional sports, when they get hurt, they're really out for months or a year. But these guys, maybe just a few months and they're back.
Yeah.
But, it should be definitely a great pay-per-view event.
I can't wait.
Trying to think of any other pay-per-view events that happen.
Those would be the big three.
Yeah, I'd say about. Of course, Shield attacked Randy Orton, so he's out for TLC. The Shield also attacked John Cena.
Yep.
So yeah.
John Cena will make it.
Yeah, John Cena is definitely gonna make it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night. So this pay-per-view event could be either known, as the pay-per-view that launched the Shield's career, or it could be the
career.
It could be the era of Ziggler, if he catches in the Money in the Bank on either Sheamus or Big Show after the pay-per-view. So this is actually one of the more interesting pay-per-view events, probably since SummerSlam this year.
Yeah, we're going to be there to experience it, even though we're not going to be in the actual vicinity where they are going to be holding the matches, but we'll be in the center.
Yep. It's going to be interesting.
It will be.
Well, you got anything else you want to say?
No, not really. I'm looking forward to TLC tomorrow.
Me too, as well, so... Folks, next week, barring any emergencies or whatnot, the show will be back Sunday, 7 p.m. Next week. So look forward to Sports and Legend.